20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL, and of course, the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It's always a good Monday when we get to chat with Grant and Perry. You can find him at Wisco Grant and, of course, at Perry underscore Goldstein. Grant, Perry, my good friends, how the heck are you guys doing?
Just outstanding, Andy. When you messaged us about the podcast, I had to take a second. It's like, okay, well, what do you want to discuss? Because I haven't, you know, with the start of baseball season and March Madness, it's good to refocus on what matters here. It's good to get back into Packers mode.
Perry?
I'm so glad the three of us are back together. It feels like it's been many a week.
It's been far too long. Our Brewers, Grant, are off to a 3-0 start. Perry, your Mets are off to a 2-1 start, I believe. Not a bad start to baseball season.
No, we broke Paul Skeens in the home opener. That was fun.
That ruled.
I think O'Neill Cruz broke Paul Skeens in that game. But either way, you're not totally wrong either. But that's enough baseball chat for the Pack-A-Day podcast today, even though it was a ton of fun just to get it back started and whatnot. I am also, Perry, extremely glad to be back chatting with you guys. Should be a ton of fun today. And it's even more fun for me because I made you both go in blind to today's episode. So I told you we're going to do a little bit of fact or fiction, but you have no idea what we're going to be talking about. We could be talking about anything. So I wanted to get your visceral gut reactions to my fact or fiction statements today. Are you guys excited and prepared and all ready?
Very.
Andy, if there's one thing about me that everyone needs to know, it's that I am visceral to my core as I'm Googling just to make sure I have a good idea of what that means. But I can do that. Yes.
Yeah, that's how I would describe you, Grant, actually. Exactly.
Very
relating to the viscera. That's actually not helpful. I'll read a little more and you ask the first question here.
All right, let's get it started right away. There's going to be some draft stuff. There's going to be some free agency stuff. There's going to be some, you know, next season stuff, prediction stuff. We're going to get through a little bit of everything. So number one, as we sit here today on Monday, March 30th, as people are listening to this, cornerback is the biggest need for the Green Bay Packers. Fact or fiction?
Grant, you want to go first? You look like you're still thinking.
No, I always look like I'm thinking because I'm a deep thinker like that. I'm trying to decide if it's corner or D line because I think it's one of those, unless I'm missing something really obvious, and I might be.
No, I think those are the three.
I think I'm going to say fiction, not a massive fiction. It's a need. It's a significant need. The only reason I think D line is more important is I know that this current group of corners can play fine enough and well enough. And I know that's not good enough for so many Packers fans, but if the pass rush is what it should have been when they're healthy and the safeties are playing at a high level, I think Valentine, Nixon, St. Juiced, and, you know, whatever assumed if they take a third round pick, nothing great, nothing to, like that group can play. I think that group can get the job done. I don't think this defensive line with two guys coming back from injury and Rashawn Gary going out, I don't think that group as it stands, I don't think can cut the mustard. Like I know the cornerback room can.
Perry?
Grant actually took the words right out of my mouth. I could not agree more. I think like you don't want to go into the season with this cornerback group. Like it's obviously not good enough. If you think the Packers are a championship caliber team, can they win games with this cornerback group? Yeah, we watched them do that, and they made, like, hopefully what is some level of an upgrade adding St. Juiced, although remains to be seen if that's minor versus major. But with Micah out for an unknown length of time and Wyatt coming back off injury and you're losing Rashawn Gary and LVN still, like, a question mark in terms of, like, what kind of, like, jump is – does he still have in him? Does he have a jump in him, et cetera? Going into it with really just a bunch of depth guys, you're like, I don't want to go into the season with just this D line. So I still think fiction, and it's the defensive line.
I'm going to agree with both of you. I think it's fiction as well. I do go back and forth a little bit with this one because I do have some more, I think, trepidation about the corner room than maybe, you know, either both of you, or certainly Grant, you do. But I do think, to your overall point, like, they can go out and play a game this weekend and I'm not like super concerned by it. Whereas defensive line, and as Perry, as you so perfectly put it, with Parsons, you know, out to start the season and Wyatt coming back from injury, I do have a little bit more concern there. Offensive line still gives me a little bit of hesitation as well. So I will say fiction. The only other thing that plays into it a little bit is it's not just a need now for corner. It's also a need in the future. That whole room outside of Benjamin St. Juste is going to be a free agent next year. So there's a little bit of that aspect of it too, but I'm going to go with you guys. I'm going to say defensive line as well is currently the biggest need. And it kind of leads in perfectly to my second one. And that is fact or fiction. The Packers can get enough pressure while Micah Parsons is out to start the season. The expectation is probably around 3 to 5 games. We don't know for sure. He's a freak. He's an alien. If you told me he was back week one, I probably wouldn't be super shocked. If you told me it was week six, I probably wouldn't be super shocked, but probably somewhere around week 4 or 5 is probably the expectation. So again, I'll say Packers can get enough pressure while Micah Parsons is out to start the season. Fact or fiction?
What's enough pressure?
Enough pressure where the leaky secondary isn't completely annihilated at corner, and enough pressure that they can win football games like they didn't in the last 5 games when Micah Parsons was out with an injury.
I mean, my answer is so fiction, but like, enough pressure is, not to nitpick your question,
that's fair,
but is very vague. I mean, no, like, based on what we, if we think the D-line is weaker, is weak going into the season, it's weaker than last season, and we don't have Micah Parsons, like, there's no way the answer is yes, they can.
Grant?
I think I'm with Perry, and I think I'm on her wavelength of just laughing at the idea of trying to talk myself into this being fact. Like, I don't even know how I would spin it.
There would have to be like major developmental jumps from LVN and some of the depth guys that like shocked me to my core for this to be true.
You would have to own a mountain of Lucas Van Ness stock. And look, if he comes out in the first 2 games and has a sack and a half in bolt, like, I wouldn't be surprised. Something I think I have been thinking about a lot this offseason is what Lucas Van Ness's year would have looked like had he been healthy, because you can make the case, like, when he was healthy, there were real flashes. And I guess I will never know. I want to know that alternate reality where he was healthy throughout, because I want to know what we'd be saying about him right now. I want to know if, like, how much hype, how much excitement, like, what kind of Lucas Van Ness conversations would we be having going into this next season if he was healthy all of last season. So in order to believe in the pass rush as Wyatt and Parsons comes back, I think you have to have a ton of stock in Van Ness. But even so, you would basically be having Lucas Van Ness like number one stock, which I don't even think the most bullish Van Ness people have. Like, the idea was Rashawn Gary's supposed to be the number two. Well, Lucas Van Ness now is going to be the number one as the roster currently stands. I guess you'd have to believe a lot in Baron Sorrell too. So if you just like really wanted to hype up those two guys,
it's not even believing that like some of these guys can get sacks. Like, if that was Andy's question, I would be like, yeah, I fully believe that like a Brenton Cox or a Baron Sorrell or a Lucas Van Ness can go in and on any given day can like get a sack or two in a 6-game stretch. But it's like consistent pressure to like get the defense off the field. Mm-hmm. Like, that answer to me is no. Not on a consistent down-to-down basis.
That's a good point.
And this was more of me bringing up just the topic of, like, I don't think this is getting discussed quite enough, because we talk about corner, we talk about interior defensive line a lot, especially nose tackle. Offensive line gets some conversation. But I do feel like edge is sort of this interesting, really just problematic piece to start the season that everyone's kind of ignoring to some extent. You have lost Micah Parsons likely for those first 4 games. Again, it went terribly when he was out last year. They did not win a game after he went out last year. And then you lose Rashawn Gary and Kingsley Enagbare, and everyone's mileage may vary as to, you know, what type of players that those two are or how great, whatever. But you still lose those two. You do get in Javon Hargrave. You bring back Devontae Wyatt. That certainly helps. But right now, if you're doing a 4-man, like, it's an obvious, it's a 3rd and 10, got to get off the field, 4th quarter, you know, situation. Right now, is it what, Wyatt and Hargrave in the middle with LVN and Baron Sorrell on the edges, probably? And to me, that's just, it's not enough that I feel like they're going to like, yep, they'll be able to get to the quarterback. I could be like, yeah, they probably picked that up. I don't even know that they need a tight end to stay in and help. That their 5-man line is probably going to pick that up pretty well. And you better hope that your coverage is sound on the back end to get off the field in that situation.
You're right. We talk about corner because Nixon and Valentine suck. And they're not like the best starters in the world, but like those two are like hot button names for Packers fans on podcasts and on the internet. And then you need a big fat guy in the middle. You need to draft like Dominique Orange or like these names. But we kind of do just forget about edge rusher. Andy, I don't think we've talked since free agency. I don't think we have as a trio. The one guy, I mean, it really intrigued me that Enigbari signed elsewhere for 1 year, $10 million. And I guess I just wonder what the Packers walkaway number was on that. If Enigbari went somewhere and got 2 or 3 years, I get it. But 1 year, even at a slightly inflated number, just to bridge edge rusher until those other guys get back, that, I don't know, because you mentioned Enigbari leaving, and I had kind of forgotten about that because it's been a few weeks. But I don't know. Secondary, I know it's not what you asked, but I wonder what the Packers walkaway number was on Enigbari for 1 year, because they could really use him if, you know, as a bridge guy, as an extra body, if for no other reason.
I guess there's somewhere in that probably 6 to 8 million ish range. And I think that they,
or eight.
My guess is they probably just saw Baron Sorrell as like the guy that can step up and be Kingsley Enigbari. And I think that that might be a fair assessment. I think that kind of is the projection for Sorrell, is what he can become is probably the next Enigbari. But Sorrell's got to take a step to be what Enigbari was last year, because Sorrell was not that as a rookie, which we didn't expect him to be. But yeah, he's going to have to take a step to get there for sure.
Also wouldn't be the worst thing in the world that both when Micah Parsons is out. You know what I mean? Like, what if Lucas Van Ness hurts his foot? Like, what do you're right, Andy. Maybe I need to focus more on this. Like, who's lining up and rushing on the edge? You know, they have a couple guys, but Lucas Van Ness is banged up, you know, a good amount. Baron Sorrell's a second-year player. It's a thin position.
Brenton Cox and Aaron Mosby.
What was that, Perry?
Brenton Cox and Aaron Mosby.
To your point too, and again, the games are not for a while yet. They still have ways to round out this roster in the draft and free agency. But if an LVN, a Hargrave, or a Wyatt do go down with an injury between now and then, I mean, now you're just perilously thin, you know, in how you can get to the quarterback, because you don't have the depth to help that in any major way. So yeah, I think it is a legitimate concern, and I think the obvious answer is no. I think right now, I would feel very concerned about the amount of pressure that they would get while Micah Parsons is out for those first however many games.
And Perry's right. Cox and Mosby, they're players who have played and have had moments individually. It's just like, if you're relying on those guys to play a ton of snaps every week, I don't know that that puts your front in an awesome spot. That's all. Not to disrespect those two guys.
All right. I got a third one for you here. Fact or fiction, the Packers need to draft to fill their needs. So they need to draft for need in this draft. Fact or fiction?
I'm not into the draft for need thing. I don't think it ever is smart. So fiction, like I think you go with, you don't change your philosophy just because you're worried about certain position groups right now, right? You fill in your roster the best you can. And like, also we've seen Goot, right, go into seasons where like we're all screaming about a certain position and he just doesn't do, like, what is it, 2 seasons ago where like they have no safeties, they are gonna have to draft a safety, and like he just doesn't reach. So I don't see any reason why he's gonna change that this year. Like, they're just gonna get the best player available based on their board. So I'm wholeheartedly fiction on this one.
So Perry, just to play devil's advocate here, what if I told you second round they took a wide receiver, third round they took a running back, fourth round they took a safety, fifth round they took a quarterback, and we're at round six and you do not get a defensive end, a nose tackle, a corner, or a offensive lineman going into the sixth round?
I would laugh because everyone would be up in arms. I would crackle. I would cackle. I would still be, it doesn't change the fact that I'm concerned about those position groups. Like, I'm not saying that it changes, like, you have to just ignore your concerns around certain rooms, or that, like, you know, you're stupid for sitting on your couch being worried that the cornerback room isn't up to snuff and the D-line, you know, what we're talking about, that the D-line is thin, you know, because you disagree with what the Packers did. But your question is like, they have to do this. And I'm like, I know they're not going to. I just know that's not what they're going to do.
Grant?
So I guess here's what was your restate the question?
The Packers need to draft to fill their needs. They have to draft for need in this draft. They can't just go their usual BPA. They're going to have to draft for need in this draft based on where the roster's at right now.
I'm really having a difficult time giving an answer. I will say fiction, because if I think there's a world in which Andy and Perry, they don't draft a single starter for this upcoming season, and it would be okay. The problem is they need young bodies at corner. They probably need another right. Like, they need depth. So they need to draft for the need of their depth. They just need certain bodies. They need numbers in certain rooms where they don't have them currently. So, like if they don't take a single corner, they're going into next offseason basically with like needing a whole new corner room. So if they don't do it, I'm not okay. So I guess I guess they do have to draft for need. It's just the need might not be a starter. It's just to get some young, you know, an invigoration of a bunch of young players at certain positions. I did not answer your question at all. And I'm sorry, but I feel like that's my view on that concept.
Can I say also, like, I feel like need also, like, it always factors in, right? Because, like, if you're looking at your board and you're ranking based on, like, a whole host of factors, and there's, like, two players that you love available, and you don't need XYZ, like, position. But to Grant's point, like, you know, Goot is thinking about 2026 and 2027 and 2028 and, like, probably also 2029. And he's like, you know what? Like, he's playing chess and, like, I need this position group because contract this and contract Y. And, like, I'm sure need factors in there. I think way we think about need is like, we have no one on the D-line and we need a starter right now. Like, I think Grant brings up a really good point, which is like, there's immediate need and then there's roster depth, like future need, which are two like very different things.
I think that's fair. I think more of what I'm saying is free agency is basically picked over at this point. It feels like corner and especially like nose tackle, and we talked about defensive end, maybe offensive line, are still holes on this team in some way, shape, or form. And there's not a ton out there left in free agency to fill those spots. If anything, maybe DJ Reader at nose tackle, maybe a Rasul Douglas or something at corner. If they really wanted to go in that direction, my guess is they probably don't. So are we, like, if they, can they just go purely BPA? Like, it, not even consider, like, if again, kind of going back to my question for you, Perry, of if they exited the first, you know, four, their second, third, fourth, fifth round, and they didn't, you know, hit on any of those things, is it roster malpractice, or are there still opportunities where they can upgrade this roster in different ways?
I think there's a little malpractice there, mostly at corner. You could talk me into neglecting any other position for the sake of an outstanding player being available that they didn't expect. But I do truly think the way that cornerback room is set up, like, I don't think you can go through the first 2 days without adding to that room. The rest of the roster, you can handle however you want. I also think to Perry's earlier point, and I'll just like put my own spin on it or add to it. Like, I think Goody does draft for need. It's just need 2 or 3 years down the road. You know what I mean? Like, if we really wanted to figure out what he's going to do, we should just look at the contracts and how they line up for 2 or 3 seasons from now. Because you could have seen, you know, Jordan Morgan, who is probably one of their best players available anyways. I'm not saying they reach for need in the future, but I think he's drafting for what am I going to need down the road? Not what do I need right now? Because ideally, we've already drafted what we need for right now 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about some of his draft picks right now as like players who are going to need to have to step up right now. Mm-hmm. And no way we were thinking about them at all last season. I also think there's a world where we're so, so hyper focused on week 1 and 2, and we're so worried about going into the season or on the line where the front office and the coaching staff think like much bigger picture than the fans do. And they know that Micah's coming back. And so they're not going to make any kind of huge splash decision or signing at a position where they have basically the one of the best players available returning probably sooner rather than later. Why would they make what they might see as a rash decision for a player that then feels duplicative? And again, like, it's problematic, of course, if the Packers literally go 0-5 without Micah Parsons, but the likelihood of that happening is I think very slim.
Hopefully,
right? So again, like, we're very concerned about it, but it's also a very long season and Micah will be around for the majority of it.
No, I'm playing devil's advocate here more than anything. I always think you draft for best player available and you figure out the rest later. I think I'll be concerned if they get out of the, you know, first five rounds and haven't attacked some of those things. I'll have a level of concern, but I always think there's things that you can do. Rasul Douglas got picked up midseason off of a practice squad. Malik Willis got traded for the week before the start of the season, basically. Micah Parsons wasn't even a fever dream at this point a season ago. So you just don't know what's going to happen. And Goody finds ways usually to fill some of those spots if need be, even at the end of training camp. So I don't think that you bastardize your entire draft process because of a specific thing that you're looking for in the here and now. So I agree with you. I do think it's an interesting scenario where it does feel like there's a couple of spots that could really, really use some love and care, and you would really like it to happen that way. But as we know, it doesn't always go exactly according to plan.
See, Andy, that's you being intellectual. Perry and I on this subject are being more visceral per your earlier request. I Googled what that means. So now I'm with you. I understand.
That's why I wanted your visceral responses. We're perfect. We're golden. All right. Next one. Packers are fine with Desmond Ridder as their backup quarterback. Fact or fiction?
Ugh, the Packers are me.
The Packers.
I feel like it's March. You could probably give us both. I feel like they're... Well, I don't want to say there are no rules. This is Andy's game, so I...
Yeah, how do you feel about Desmond Ridder being the backup quarterback? Do you think that is a good idea, bad idea, fact or fiction? They're fine with Desmond Ridder as their backup quarterback. Anyone?
Grant.
Oh, I thought she was frozen. I'm not fine with it. Fiction. No. Lord, no.
Thank God.
No.
Hard no for me too. I'm not into it. I mean, are we spoiled, Grant, because of Malik, or is Desmond Ridder really just that bad?
I mean, look, if there was some film junkie, real football nerd who could explain to me why Desmond Ridder is a fit and, you know, this and that, like, you know, whatever. I think Malik Willis is going to do a number on the way we view backup quarterback for a long time. Not in that he was good. I mean, that was great, but it's just so clear and easy to see, like, oh, okay, so the guy makes a couple of reads, and if it's not there, he can just run. And I just, after watching that for 2 years, I don't know how I'm ever going to think about backup quarterback and not think about it that way. You know what I mean? Like, just get someone who can do that. And I just, Desmond Ridder. No. Fiction for me. Hard fiction. Big F fiction.
Well, Perry, sounds like you agree.
It's also big F fact, so I'm sorry that doesn't work very well. I'm a big F fiction as well. I'm not into it at all. I can't imagine the Packers. I mean, my thought process on this is like, this is a disposable position. And if the Packers can upgrade, they're going to at any point in time. Sorry, that comes off a little harsh, but that's how I feel about backup quarterback.
Malik Willis is a good example. Like it was a week before the season and they got him. Yeah.
So he's a body right now. And I fully believe like there will be more bodies at backup quarterback that come in camp before the season. Like they'll have to choose someone for the season. We obviously don't ever want to see any of these guys, but like we saw plenty of Malik Willis. Like it happens.
Yep.
And you just want someone who can win you 50% of the games that you play. Like, that's the bar is like, I think that's a fair bar, right? Do yeah. I think that Desmond Ridder can do that? No. Like, hard, the hardest yeah. no. So, no. Just no.
Have we made our
you point mentioned it, like, will the Pack... Like, will the Packers come out of this draft with someone? Like, I don't know. Actually, you mentioned it, Andy. I wasn't thinking about it. Like, maybe.
It's not impossible. I'm with both of you. I don't feel good about it. There's been too much backup quarterback play over the last few seasons. You just need one. The season's really freaking long, and you're everyone's, you know, at risk of getting hurt, especially the quarterback. And you better have somebody that can come in and play solid quarterback. There's a lot of decent options that are still out there, whether it's via trade, maybe via draft. Maybe even via free agency. If I'm Green Bay, I'm looking to upgrade that spot. I think it's something that they should be more focused on at some point in time. Again, it doesn't have to be now, but I would not feel good about Desmond Ridder being the backup going into the year.
You're right about the need. You're very right. Yes. Like, if Malik Willis wasn't pretty good the last 2 years, they, you know, it's not an insane thought to think they might have missed the playoffs in one of the last 2 years. You know what I mean? Like, he got them some crucial wins in seasons where they didn't exactly win 14 games. Like, they were the seventh seed. So, if their backup quarterback play is terrible, like, I don't know. Maybe they'll make the playoffs.
They don't make the playoffs in 2024 with Desmond Ridder, Sean Clifford, or any of the other, you know, backups. Yeah, they just don't. They need a Malik in 2024 to make the playoffs, no question about it. So, yeah, I think it's a very valuable position, and I think Green Bay needs to find an upgrade there. We'll be right back. Let's move to running back. The Packers need another running back because they cannot trust Marshawn Lloyd.
Have I said fiction? Have I said fact to any of these yet? I have not.
I don't think so.
I don't like the phrasing of that. However, I mean, he hasn't been able to play yet. So, yeah, I mean... Unfortunately, you can love the guy on paper as much as you want, but if you can't produce on the field, like, why would they be able to trust him?
He's got a solid 10 snaps to his name in his career. That's not nothing, right?
Can he go see the same soft tissue guy as Christian Watson?
He did. Yeah, he went, and I don't know if it was the exact same one as Christian Watson, but he did the Madison thing too. He's been looked at.
I feel for him. Like, I really do. I think they need a more solid RB2 outside Josh Jacobs. Like, hard agree with that statement. I don't love all the wear on Josh Jacobs, or, like, you know, Emmanuel Wilson gone. It's kind of like just the way the run game looks without Josh in. It's very, very different. So I agree. Fact on that statement.
Grant?
Fact, for all the reasons that Perry just said, I'm trying to wonder if you gave me straight up odds and I had to bet every dollar to my name, which is not that much, but I prefer to win in this hypothetical bet. If you were like, Grant, you need to bet every dollar you own on whether or not Marshawn Lloyd takes a regular season snap for the Green Bay Packers, I don't know what I'd bet. You know what I mean? Like, sure, this is the year that he could be healthy, but if he got some injury in training camp and then, like, that was just it, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I might even, if I had to bet one way, that might be the way I bet. So, yeah, they need another running back, but I don't think they need to, I don't know that it needs to be somewhere at the top of the draft. Because I think this year, I put it this way, last year I don't think was a sign of Josh Jacobs declining. I think it was the year after a very heavy workload year, and the O-line. And if they fix the O-line, I think they can put some replacement level back in that they would draft later, or that they would pick up and be just fine. But it's got to be someone other than Marshawn Lloyd, because I don't know if he's ever going to be able to play football for the Packers.
Yeah, I think it's fact. Here's what I would say. If you told me everyone's healthy, I feel very, very good about Josh Jacobs as your one, Marshawn Lloyd as your two, and Chris Brooks as your three.
Yes.
And that's why I said, like, specifically Marshawn Lloyd, because I feel like they have their one, obviously, in Josh. I feel like they have their three, obviously, in Chris Brooks. They just re-signed him. They obviously gave, you know, put some investment into him. And again, if you had any faith in Marshawn Lloyd staying healthy, you're probably not needing to feed this position at all. But you've got Pierre Strong and Damian Martinez, who are probably battling for practice squad spots. And if Lloyd isn't healthy, then yeah, you need to fill that running back two spot. Otherwise, you don't feel comfortable about it going into the year. So I do think there's something to it simply because he's played 10 snaps in 2 years. And I love what I've seen from him when I've had the opportunity to watch him in camp, when I watched him in college. He's a really super talented player, but 10 snaps in 2 years is indicative of ability, is availability, blah, blah, blah. You know, you've got to be able to go out there and play, and he just hasn't so far.
Yeah. He's got the speed. He's got the, there's a reason they drafted him, and there's a reason that they like him. So again, if he's healthy, it's a perfect fit, but it's not like Christian Watson had a huge reputation for being banged up after a couple of years, and he missed a reasonable, but people talked about him like he never played football. You know what I mean? Which wasn't true. He had some nagging injuries here and there, and then he blew his knee. Like Marshawn Lloyd has just straight up not played football.
Not played. Yeah.
I just have such a difficult time betting on that in a way where there's any stakes at all.
Pop quiz for you. What percentage of games do you think Christian Watson has played in his career?
Oh, we've talked about this actually. It's like much higher than people would think. It's like 70 something, I think.
It's a little over 70%. Yeah, it's a little over 70%.
People like blew this so out of proportion.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's with a torn ACL in there. He still played over 70% of the games in the NFL. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. Right. Marshawn Lloyd is at zero.
No, that's not true. He's played one game, 10 snaps. All right. Next one. Fact or fiction, Matthew Golden will be the Packers' breakout player in 2026.
We're going with fact.
There we go. We got one. We did it.
Oh, I think the last one, actually, I was supposed to say, I think fact was right. The last one because I agreed with all of you guys and you said fact. So
got it.
I'm saying this purely out of hope. It's like 75% hope and 25% the last game we saw of him. No, I'm amending this. It's 70% hope, 25% the last game we saw of him, and like 5% he looked always open and no one ever threw to him. Maybe you can change the ratios on there, but those are the three reasons why. Yeah. I just think there's too much talent there for him to not, like, if you gave him the opportunities, that he would not be a star in this offense. And like, you know, everyone believes him, you know, the coaching staff believes him. Just give him the ball. Look what he does when he gets the ball.
Grant.
So I mean, spiritually fact, cause I think he'll have a way bigger year. I'm racking my brain to think if there would be another player more likely. And I don't think there is. I was watching Shark Tank the other day, which I never do. I don't know why I was. And they always, these rich people, they always talk and ask about whether or not a business is scalable. Like, is this scalable? If we put more money into this, can it grow? And I just think Matthew Golden, like, his skill set is, he was always open and he always caught the ball. So, like, if you invest more targets in that, it's scale, like, it just is going to work.
I love this analogy so much.
Thank you. I know nothing about business, so I thought it sounded right. Like, so it should just work if he gets the ball. It's very good. So yeah. Now that Dobbs is gone and Reed is hurt here and there, like, yeah, I just think by nature of him being out there and Dobbs not being here anymore, like, yeah, I think it just happens naturally, or it should, because his skill set is he's open and he catches the ball. So, like, it should just work.
You make such a good point. Like, there's a target share open now too. Like, it's not like he's fighting for snaps anymore either. There's a whole open, like, roster, like, starting wide receiver spot that, like, he should naturally fill that wasn't there before. And he's so fast.
Mm-hmm.
He's so fast. I don't have a follow-up to that. Just like, he's just like got it. I don't know. I'm very excited. You know, you were talking about stock before. We're keeping it with the business analogies. Like, I've got a ton of Matthew Golden stock. Just like a lot of, like, cashing in so hard this year, Andy, on the Matthew Golden stock. And I just want to drive this point home. Like, he was always open. Always. Like, there were so many times. And yeah, like, I know that you're you're the third or fourth read, and like when you're competing against other guys who are also open, which is great, you're probably not going to get the ball. But like, make him the first or second read now, so he can watch what he can do. Anyway,
Andy? I'm right there. Outside of Christian Watson, I actually had Matthew Golden as my second highest graded wide receiver for the Packers last year, and that's in minimal opportunities, just because when he was asked to do things, he did it extremely well. He got open. If Jordan hits him on a couple of those deep balls early in the season, I think we have a totally different connotation and impression of Matthew Golden. I was going to like be lame and just be like, just mathematically, if I get the field or if I get Matthew Golden, I'll take the field. But I'm just in the spirit. I know, in the spirit of the conversation, Matthew Golden is the most likely breakout candidate for the Packers. So for that reason, I'm going to say fact.
Who else would you be tempted to say? Edgerrin Cooper?
I think Edgerrin Cooper's already broke out, in my opinion. Not. Yeah, he has more to go.
Want more?
He has more to go. But
I would. I like Edgerrin Cooper, and he was good last year. But, yeah, I hope there's more.
Marshawn Lloyd, Savion Williams, Jordan Morgan, Anthony Belton. I still say LVN would probably be in that conversation.
Sorrell, long shot.
Baron Sorrell, those would probably be the main ones in the conversation. I would say maybe a Warren Brinson, probably unlikely. Those would, I think, be the main ones in the conversation. Because I would say like Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, Edgerrin Cooper, to some extent have had that initial breakout, in my opinion, already. So I would be just less likely to put him in that same category.
Is it disrespectful or crazy to say, like, I just think Matthew Golden is better than Jaden Reed, and I would prefer him getting the ball in big moments in big games? Like, I don't know. That Bears game, man, like, you just have to have that ball. I think that one of my weaknesses...
You're making that comment on one play?
Well, this is what I'm saying. I don't know if this is a weakness or a strength, but like one play in one moment can just like, I'll just turn off. I'm turned off from a player. Like, it can happen very quickly. It's like, if I can't trust you when you're wide open to catch that ball in that spot, then I guess I don't know what to do with you. Like, I just need someone who can make that play. And next time he could make that play 9 times out of 10. I wouldn't bet on it because he seemed to drop a handful of those, but. I don't know. I believe more in Matthew Golden and the player he could be given targets more so than Jaden Reed at this point.
So you're believing in potential.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Andy, how is Matthew Golden as a blocker?
He's not great. He's fine. He's not great. Same as kind of similar to Jaden Reed. Like, they'll give effort, but they're not great at it. So, that's always kind of the question, is can you get away with Golden and Reed on the field at the same time? You know, I asked Matt that going into last year, and he was like immediately, you know, aggressively saying, absolutely, no question about it, et cetera.
Well,
but it does add a little interesting context to it of because we know how much blocking matters to Matt. So
that's the reason I'm like, because Matt will shoot, like, there are just some packages, right, where you simply are not going to get put on the field because.
There's a level of truth to that, but I will also say, like, they rotate those wide receivers so damn much anyway that, like, I don't know how much it actually matters. Like, Savion's going to get snaps. If Bo Melton's on the team, he's probably going to get some snaps. Like, they just love rotating those guys. It's just part of their DNA, for better or worse, I would say.
Okay.
All right, next one. I don't know how I would answer this one, so I'm very curious how you guys will answer this one. The Packers will have a first team All-Pro in 2026. Fact or fiction?
Anyone?
Anyone. Anyone on the team. First team All-Pro. Not first or second. First team All-Pro. Mike is going to miss probably 4 or 5 games to start the season.
That's basically you asking us, like, do the Packers have a good enough blue chip player that, like, some people around the league will say they're one of two, like, of the best at their position.
Exactly what he's asking, I believe, right?
Yeah. I'm just, like, I'm rephrasing it to, like, because, like, you hear that and you're, like, you could say, like, a hard no or a hard yes very quickly, but I'm, like, I need to reframe that in my mind to, like, really think about it.
I will do a tentative fact, because I would bet my money Xavier McKinney bounces back and catches more picks. And I'm just looking at the safeties who got first team over him last year, Kyle Hamilton and Kevin Byard. Hamilton could get it again. I don't know. Jesse Bates is in there. Hufanga.
I didn't think Kyle had that good of a season last year, to be honest.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really have a good idea.
I didn't think the Ravens had a very good defense last year. I actually had the same thought as Grant. Grant, we have one Brayden tonight.
But other than that, I would say no. Like, if you took McKinney out, I would say no.
Daniel Whelan? You have no Daniel Whelan faith?
Yeah, does that count? I mean, it does, but...
Is Sky Moore going to be an all-pro punt returner?
No. Here's the story on Sky Moore. Sky Moore, we are excited about because he is a legitimate, real, competent kick returner, punt returner. He is not an elite kick returner, punt returner. No, I know. I'm just saying in general, though, like, I do think there's this, like, oh, my God, we got a great – no, he's fine, but because he's actually competent, it makes it look like he's the freaking hero of the universe to us right now because he's actually a competent returner.
I'm going for, like, 29th in the league in special teams, like, just not 30.
Let's get after it.
I had the same thought as Grant. Like, if anyone is going to do it, it's going to be Xavier McKinney. We were just talking about Edge Cooper, and like, if Edge does take like another one of those leaps, like, does he have the ceiling to be like one of the best linebackers in the league? Yeah. Can he put it together with a new defensive coordinator? I don't know. I have no idea. Like, yeah, but I don't. I mean, can Micah do it on a short season?
He did last year. He missed 5 games last year and was a first team All-Pro.
Sure. Yeah. Like, sure. Totally. They have the talent.
Answer the question.
I guess I'm going fact.
All right.
I guess. Interestingly, that we all of our choices, you didn't even ask for players, you just asked for fact or fiction, and Grant and I are like, interestingly, it's all on the defensive side of the ball, Grant. Mm. Is there anyone that we would think about on the offensive side of the ball?
Tucker, Jordan. Those are maybe okay. Josh, but probably Tucker.
I was
Tucker
going to give options.
Oh, my apologies.
I was going to say Tucker also, but I think it also depends on when he comes back.
I think Tucker's going to be ready to go for week one.
Really?
Yeah. That feels informed. That feels like Andy's been asking
around. Oh, no. I just, based on, like, if you look at the timeline for the injury, you should theoretically be ready to go week one.
I just love making that accusation against other media people when they share something bold.
I'm never informed. I'm never informed.
That's not true. That's not true. There's no way that's true.
That I'm not informed.
Zach Tom?
Coming off of injury, and I just think there's some really, really good offensive tackles. And I think he would have to take a pretty significant jump coming off of injury to be in that combo. Second team, sure. First team, I think that's really tough.
That's the thing with both Zach Tom and Christian Watson. I love both players, but I just feel like there will always be someone Steve above them Steve at their position group.
All right, let's throw it out there. Can I do this, Andy? Sorry, I'm derailing your show.
No, go for it.
Jordan?
I'd say Jordan. That's what I said.
Okay, sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, you're good.
Do we think, I mean, competing against other NFC quarterbacks, like, can Jordan be top two?
If you told me Jordan put together an MVP season in his career, I would not be stunned by it. I think it's unlikely in general, but I don't think it's impossible by any stretch of the imagination. Whether or not that would be this year, I don't know. But I think he certainly has the talent. If things were to fall correctly and they had a really good season and stayed healthy and they actually protected him, I think he could be in that conversation. And I mean, he was one in like the top three or four of MVP almost all of last year. And it's a really tough group, right? Like, but last year was like Drake May and Matthew Stafford. And if Stafford takes a step back, Mahomes is not going to play the whole season. I would assume Josh Allen's going to have a great year, et cetera. But like, I want to see you, one of you guys talk. I want to see where the MVP odds right now are. And I wonder where he is.
What do you think, Grant?
I was sure. Throw it over to me. I guess I looked up all pro and it was Stafford and Drake May. I guess I kind of forgot about Drake May. It's incredible that bad New England Super Bowl just put such a damper on
I know
so many, which fair and unfair both. I don't know. There's so many good quarterbacks. The Ravens should be better. Tenth. Joe Burrow's healthy.
He's currently 10th in the odds. You've got Josh Allen plus 550, Lamar plus 650, Mahomes at plus 1,000, despite being, you know, potentially out to start the season, which seems a little aggressive to me. Herbert at plus 1,000, Burrow at plus 1,000, Drake May at plus 1,100, Dak at plus 13, Stafford at 14, Caleb Williams at 14, and then Jordan Love at plus 15. So Love currently 10th in those award categories right now, or for MVP, I should say.
That feels...
Give me a break. I would definitely bet on defensive guys, and safety just seems like the most attainable. Xavier McKinney is really, really good, but also that's, I just think that's an easier position or a less crowded position.
I think X is going to be a pretty big chess piece in Jonathan Gannon's defense. I think he's going to have the best odds. I'm going to say fiction, though. I'm going to say that they don't have a first team. It would not surprise me if they had multiple second team all pros.
That feels more likely. Yeah, I would agree.
That ended up being a very long answer. Sorry.
That's a good question. That's what good questions are.
We'll be right back. All right, this one's a Grant Bill special. I'm very excited to hear your answer. Perry, I'm excited to hear yours too, but this just has Grant written all over it. All right, fact or fiction, Rich Bisaccia screwed the Green Bay Packers.
So, well, if you remember what Goody said at the Combine, fiction, because the timing of his exit meant there was no one else looking for a coach, so the Packers could take their time, which is incredible spin, by the way, when he said that. I'm like, that is amazing. I don't think fiction, because I don't think there's that big of a difference in maybe special teams coordinators they would have been able to hire right away versus later. I could be wrong, and if I am, Andy, then please, because you know more about these things. The thing that I keep thinking about is the story that Tom Silverstein wrote about his exit, and he like made mention, he's like, and there are some who think that Bisaccia did this a certain way for this reason. And I just feel like, especially writers like Tom, don't include that if it's not at least interesting to him, if it's not at least on his radar. So just the fact that that was even written about at all.
There's a little smoke, that even if there's a little smoke, there's usually a little fire. Yes.
And again, like, it wouldn't be in there if that was complete and total BS, because Tom wouldn't have addressed it. Like, on Sports Talk Radio, of course we're going to talk about it. Of course. But Tom doesn't put that in his story unless it's like...
Integrity? Well, what's integrity on Sports Talk Radio?
I mean, I also think, you know, it's Sports Talk Radio. Like, if people are looking at it like it's gospel, like, you're just misinterpreting the format. But Tom putting that in there at all means he's dignifying it in his story, which I don't know. So I think there's at least a chance, yes, Andy. But I think functionally, no. Spiritually, fact. Functionally, fiction. That's a horrible answer. I'm sorry.
No, that's a very fair separator of church and state. I don't hate that answer, Perry.
I don't know that I know enough about the story, to be honest.
Okay, so I think that is a perfect answer. It was really the way I was going to lean as well. It was like, we don't know the whole story. We don't know what Rich's ultimate decision was. It's impossible for us to know. What I will say, and this is why I said it's a Grant Bill special, because this is talk radio fest. We can just have whatever. No, I'm just kidding. But I will say, based on what we know, I think he did. I think to wait until every other coordinator is hired and your assistant got hired somewhere else, like, that you couldn't have sped that up by a couple weeks to make that decision a little bit sooner? Absolutely. No. Just based on what we know, is there something behind the scenes that Rich had from a family matter, again, if there's something there, then so be it. Then I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt on that. But just based on what we know, if there wasn't some extenuating circumstance that was going on, then I think he did. And I actually think the Packers made a mistake too, by not giving him a deadline, a hard deadline to say, here's the date we need to know by. And if we don't know by then, we're going to have to go in a different direction. So I think there's actually some fault on both sides, but just based on what we know, I think he kind of did.
Don't you also feel like extenuating circumstances come out normally? Like, I feel like when there's like, not that I think this is a good thing, because I think people's personal lives should like very much be allowed to stay personal, but like, I feel like if there's like a death in the family or a sickness or something, like we usually hear about things like that.
Sometimes, for sure.
I don't know. I
think the other thing, he took a job. He's with Clemson. He took another job right away.
All we heard was that, like, first of all, he stepped away, which like the wording of it was very specific. It wasn't like a mutually parting of ways, which is like,
no,
which is usually like organization speak for we let him go, but we respect him, which is why we're making this sound like mutual. It was like he left, which was very odd. And then has a new job. So just very weird all around. But again, like, I just don't feel like I know enough about the situation to like comment on his motivations, because
for sure
I don't know him.
Another thing, when this broke, this was on March 2nd, Silverstein quote tweeted TigerNet.com's announcement of it and tweeted, he just wrote, was told Bisaccia was interested in a college job, but didn't think it was for this season. Didn't take him long to find a new home, assuming this gets finalized. So to me, I'm just trying to, again, we're just picking at stuff. We're reading in between lines. Why does Tom, you know, Tom's not saying things. He doesn't tweet 1,000 times a day. You know, he has a story, and again, he's intentional about what he puts in it. To me, I read that as, well, man, I was heard he was looking at a college job, but I didn't think it was for this year. Like, there's like, well, now where did that come from? I didn't think this is how it would go down. Like, there's surprise. There's something there. So
there's intrigue.
There's just a lot of smoke. That's not to say there is fire, but I just have a hard time believing there's absolutely zero fire.
Yeah. He took a pay cut. He's no longer the assistant head coach. Maybe he did at Clemson. I don't know. But he was the assistant head coach. Like, Green Bay clearly wanted him back. They gave him time. And then just to be like, see, I'm going to Clemson. Something seems a little off. I got a couple more before we get out of here. Fact or fiction, Jonathan Gannon will be an improvement as a defensive coordinator from Jeff Hafley.
Fiction, he will be more or less the same. I don't know if we've talked about this. This is my new just baseline take on every hire that they make, for the most part. All of the special teams coordinators, to some degree, are mostly the same and get the same results. And I think all the defensive coordinators are mostly kind of the same. And they'll run like a similar thing. Well, they'll limit big plays, but they'll get paper cut to death. And it's like, it just feels like Hafley, who felt in long stretches kind of just as the same as Barry, but with better personnel, who kind of felt like Petten. These guys all just feel the same to me. Fiction.
Okay, Barry?
I'm saying fiction, but for a different reason. I don't disagree with Grant, actually, but like, the Packers had pretty good defenses under Hafley. Like, top 10 his first season, right? I think, like, above average. Like, I think it'd be actually quite hard to be better. Like, Hafley set a high bar, so... I still have like, I think some PTSD too. And like, just like good Packers defenses are like hard to come by. He's getting very good personnel, but like fiction, just cause I think the bar is kind of high.
I'm going to go fact, and Perry, I'm going to answer it like you did earlier. It's like 70% just hope, just pure dumb hope. Okay. And that's all I got for it. I don't have any reason I can point to. I actually wish they were staying in a 4-3 and not going to a 3-4, if I'm being honest. But I do think there's a little piece of me knowing that Gannon has had a number one defense in the league, and that Acord has had a number one special teams in the league, even if they weren't as good in following seasons. It gives me a little bit of a hope. So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to say fact, and it's not based on anything in reality other than just pure dumb hope.
Okay.
Do we know if he is coaching from the booth or the sideline yet? That's something that is going to need to be discussed.
I hate this stupid question so much every single time. Not you, that like when it gets asked of like, why does anybody care? Do we have a feel of like what's actually better? Of like,
no,
I could, where somebody is sitting on the sideline or in the booth is the, I just, it's the last thing. If I had 1,000 questions for like endless questions, I can have as many questions as I want for the Packers, the personnel, like the D coordinators, the special teams coordinators, not once in those thousands and thousands of questions would, where's the defensive coordinator going to sit in the game day? That's the last question that would ever come up for me. I love that you asked it, but it would be the last thing I care
about. It's going to need to be discussed in early August on Sports Talk Radio. That's the only thing it's the only reason I want to get that better.
What do we want? What do we want?
I would tell you most fans want them on the sideline because then you can coach. You're a leader of men. But if they're up in the booth, I feel like fans, we say the same thing all the time. It's like, oh, that's smart. You'll be up top. You get a better view of the field, you know. Or if they're on the sidelines, oh, that's smart. Then you can coach them. Then you can get in a guy's face. You know, doesn't matter. But it's always, you know this, it's always a talking point. People care about
a billion percent. A billion percent. It'll be asked. And not, well, are you going to be on the sideline? Are you going to be? Yeah. I don't get it. All right. Last but not least, the Packers will win a playoff game this upcoming season. Fact or fiction?
Why are you doing this to us?
Fact.
There we go, Perry Goldstein.
Because why say anything else at this point in the season? We don't know. You just believe. You just believe that they're one of the best teams in the NFC because they are.
I think fact, I feel like they're due. I feel like you can only make the playoffs so many. I think I believe they will be a playoff team, and they're just due to win one. and I honestly, Andy, you asking me that on March 30th, that's the only way I think that's the smartest way to answer that question. It's just like biggest of big pictures, knowing what we know about how sports and how this stuff works. I just have a hard time seeing a team making the playoffs 4 years in a row and losing in the first round in 4 straight. That just seems statistically unlikely or difficult to do.
So I don't know. Talk to Chargers fans, man.
True. True.
They have a type 7 seed first round exit. That's their MO, you know.
Our quarterback is good. I don't know that I feel the same way about the Chargers.
I'm just joking. The spicy. Packers are better. They're a better team.
I'm just joking.
Do you want the lightning round of the ones I didn't get to?
Sure.
All right. Just really quick answers. Fact or fiction, Matt LaFleur needs to fully hand the reins to Jordan Love this season.
Spicy.
See, if I was a real jerk, I'd be like, well, what does that even mean?
I know. That's why I didn't ask it. I didn't want clarification questions.
Yeah.
Rude. I'm catching strays over here.
I mean, if they can't run the ball, I forgot, Perry, that you said that earlier. That's not what I meant. If they can't run the ball, then yes. If they can run the ball, I have no problem with him only throwing a certain number of times a game. That's situational to me.
I'm going to say fiction because I think they operate really well as a team.
All right, fair enough. Fact or fiction, the Packers should be open to trading a wide receiver.
Fact. Guess which one? Okay.
Dontavian Wicks.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
No, he's going to say Jaden Reed.
I know, he's going to say Jaden Reed. Yes. I'm open to trading Wicks if it were for the right player. I'd be open to trading Reed if it were for the very right player. It would have to be something just I could not pass up on.
Didn't they say that that's a hard no, though? They came out and said, like, Reed is, like, not happening, basically.
It should be. Grant's wrong. He's a really good player.
They shouldn't trade him. He's a really good player. It's going to take a big offer.
Shut up.
Putting that messaging out there. We're not interested in trading him. Just like the Eagles aren't interested in trading A.J. Brown.
Christian Watson, Devontae Wyatt, and Tucker Kraft will have contract extensions by the end of the calendar year.
Fact.
I think it's fact too.
Fact on Watson and Kraft. I guess Wyatt seems likely. That would be the one that I'd be most concerned about.
I would too, but I think it's going to be fact still. Defensive tackles are really hard to find and good ones don't come available in free agency. I think they'll figure something out.
And end of the calendar year is like basically by the end of, like towards the end of the season, which if he has an amazing season, like they'll want to do it.
Or you get the Rashawn Gary timing, right? Where you come back from the injury, you play for a month and then they've done that with a couple people though, haven't they, Andy? Gary's the one that comes to mind, but who else have they done midseason? Anybody? Maybe I'm making that up. I don't know.
They have a couple, but memory is failing me at the moment, but I don't think you're wrong about that. And then the last one was Packers are the team to beat in the NFC North. I'm going fact.
They might be, but they haven't won it since 2021. But can that be true, though? Can you be the team to beat while also never being the team to actually win it yourself? I don't know. That's an interesting one.
Mm. Fact, because it's a better way to end the show. Grant.
I like that. Fact. You bet they are absolutely.
Obviously fact. You bet. Obviously fact. All right. That was all I had on my list. You guys nailed everything. You guys are incredible. What was the word I used at the beginning that I wanted you
visceral.
To be? I don't even know. Visceral. Thank visceral. You for being visceral.
Which, by the way, the definition is relating to deep inward feelings rather than to the intellect, which
sounds like Grant.
Yeah, I was going to say it myself. Thank you, Perry, though, for jumping in and go ahead. Thank you. Yes. Very nice. Very kind.
Grant, tell us all about the Wisco Sports Show.
The Wisco Sports Show, my life's work. It's a nightly radio show from 4 to 6 Central Time on many, many great affiliates, radio affiliates across the state of Wisconsin. But you can stream it live, of course, as you can every show. Has a YouTube page. Follow me on Twitter at Wisco Grant. That's probably the best spot. Probably a lot of Brewers talk this week. A little Badger hockey. How about that? A little, you know, college basketball. And I've held my own in talking about some prospects and, you know, during the combine, some Packers stuff this offseason too so far.
Love it. Perry, Packs What She Said?
Yeah, just follow Packs What She Said on socials and YouTube, and Maggie and I will, you know, cover Packers 365.
You guys do an incredible job every single time. Grant, you're killing it on the Wisco Sports Show. I cannot thank you guys enough for coming on. Always, always, always great chatting with you. You find me at Andy Herman NFL, and of course the podcast at Packaday Podcast. That is going to do it for us today. A very visceral show. We'll see you guys all very soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. Go.